Hi, I'm Janelle.
And I'm Monique.
And welcome to Is Marriage Worth It?
We are just two single chicks, girls, women.
Anything but females.
Trying to figure out what marriage is like and is it worth it?
I'm assuming the best place to get the answers is from married people. Maybe engaged people, newlyweds, and even other singles.
Each episode, we will have a guest answering different questions we have or that you may have about marriage.
Join us as we try to figure out, is marriage worth it?
And if it is, I wonder if my future husband or yours is listening right now.
Hi, I'm Monique.
And I'm Janelle.
And welcome back to another episode of
Is Marriage Worth It?
So our guest today is Big T. And the way that he is a guest, Janelle and I were on a podcast that was streaming and he was in the comment section and decided he wanted to be a guest on the show and said, how do I make this happen? So after that, I reached out to him and that is how Big T is our guest. So thank you very much for reaching out to us.
Thank you both for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity.
So to get things started, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, man, that's kind of a very open-ended question. I can say this. I'm in my mid to late 30s, career-oriented guy. I'm also the host of a podcast called I Can't Make This Up. That's I Can't with a K, Make This Up podcast, where it all started from the crazy things that happened to me in life, like meeting a serial hitchhiker or, you know, having girls trying to run me over in cars and things of that nature. So I couldn't keep those stories to myself. And my friend said the world needs to hear them. So, you know, that's how that started. And, you know, I'm the type of person that's I'm there for a good conversation. And I'm looking forward to having one with you two ladies this evening. So, you know.
All righty. So, Big T, are you single, in a relationship, married?
I guess technically, if you're not married, you're single, right?
Technically, yes. But for our podcast, we would like to know your relationship status.
I'll say relationship for the column choices. Other than that, it's a situation, you know.
Okay, you can say it's a situationship if you don't want to call it a relationship.
Yeah.
That is also.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that's also an option. You can call it whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the past 20 years, relationships and how they're defined have changed so much. You got to, you know, accept what how people want to go about things. And, you know, that's the particular situation I'm in. So it is what it is for now.
Okay, so we're going to rewind things just to get a feel of who you are. So what has mm-hmm. been your longest relationship? Or wait, backing it up. Do you believe in relationships?
Yes. I think that that's the state of life. Without, you know, relationships, life can't grow, evolve, or manifest in any way. We all need each other to continue the circle of life, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, whether it be a homeostasis or whatever, it's all necessary. You can say you can, you know, be an omega or a lone wolf, but regardless, you need something to keep going, whether it's healthy or not.
Okay. So what has been the longest romantic relationship that you have been in?
It's funny you chose the word romantic, so I guess you mean other than, you know, like how people have relationship with their cars or, you know, even their dogs sometimes. But, you know, that's a whole different subject. So I'm going to say 5 years.
5 years. So how did you and that person meet?
High school crush, actually. It was one of those Laura and Steve situations, you know, and she was my crush. And I was like, you know, saying I'm gonna marry this girl and all these things. And I basically played that friend zone pocket until she broke up with her boyfriend. And, you know, when the opportunity presented itself, I slid right in. And, you know, I made my feelings queer. And clear and known, and you know, we ended up dating, and then we got together, and it lasted as long as it did, and then here we are today.
So you called it a Steve and Laura relationship. When you got together, was it what you thought it would be?
Initially, yes, but you know, as I got older and when the relationship ended, I realized that it was unrequited love where I loved her, but she liked the way I treated her. And I ended up finding out that she wasn't over her ex-boyfriend, and, you know, things got messy from there. But I accepted that, and I didn't, you know, lash out or feel bad because, you know, that was my fault for not, you know, really getting to know her. I was more infatuated instead of, you know what I'm saying, being, I guess, really tapped in on how she was feeling, mm-hmm. regardless to how happy I might have felt or, you know, how congenial we was around each other. Like, you know, she apparently was, you know, feeling some type of way, or I couldn't make her feel the way he did. Either way, it wasn't going to work out with us, you know, right. in the long run.
So 5 years to me is a long time. Did you guys happen to move in with each other in those 5 years?
Yeah, I moved in with me about a year into it. And it's funny now that I think about it, but I'm that type of person where, you know, if I'm with you, I'm going to take care of you. And it's not that I didn't want her working, but I was, I guess, possessive in a sense. So I took care of our needs. I didn't keep her trapped in the house, but, you know, I like to keep her close. You know, and I, you know, when she wanted to go to nursing school, I put her through nursing school, and, you know, that was no issue. But, you know, like I said, things got hazy in between that towards the end, and then, you know, things unraveled.
Were you raised to be the person to take care of somebody, or is that something that you kind of developed by yourself?
Honestly, I grew up around people I saw were neglected. And I guess you kind of adapt to a nature of being like a caregiver sometimes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I grew up in the hood. It wasn't like straight up project, but, you know, we weren't middle class. So, you know, getting it out the mud and finally being able to have a place of your own and feel like you have some type of control over your life. You want to, you know, not only each one teach one, but pass that along. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you want to do that with somebody you hold close to you and hold dear to you, not only just your community, but, you know what I'm saying, somebody that you laying in the bed with every night. So it's just a part of my, I guess, caring spirit, if you want to say.
Mm-hmm. So towards the end of that relationship, I know you kind of said things that she wasn't over her ex and things like that, but how did you come to the conclusion, or she came to the conclusion, that you guys needed to go your separate ways?
So I'm going to tell you a story of how things ended. Around 8 months, no, I'll say it's about a year before we broke up. Her grandmother got sick and her mother wanted to go take care of her. She lived in Kentucky. So her mother had three younger children that she, took care of. And she wanted to be there for her mother while she was giving care to her grandmother. Mm-hmm. So I knew that we was going to be separated for some months. And, you know, I tried my best to, you know, help out as much as I can and be, you know, accepting of the situation and a willing participant to, you know, not feel slighted or any type of way. So, you know, I would send her money and I would visit, you know, when I could, you know, during my off times or whatever. And to me, I thought that, you know, like I said, I was infatuated and, you know, she was just content. And I thought things were good. Like, you know, we had a real good vibe, at least, you know, what I thought was. And when she came back, I threw a surprise party, you know, for her birthday. Mm-hmm. So I ended up overhearing one of our mutual friends, you know, asking her why she isn't drinking. She was like, she thinks she's pregnant. And for me, I'm like, that shouldn't be a secret. You know what I'm saying? That's a thing to celebrate. But then she pulled me to the side and said, it might not be mine. Mm. So later on that evening, she ended up telling me that her ex came down, went, you know, to Kentucky when I wasn't there and something happened. They ended up, you know, hooking up or whatever. But then that's when she admitted that, you know, she still had feelings for her ex and, you know, she didn't know how to tell me. And you know, once I heard that and I started thinking about the whole situation, I had a moment of clarity when I realized like they were together, you know, for a while. And I want to say since like middle school. So, you know, that's a long amount of, you know, a long time. Yeah. And I think it was like maybe 8 or 9 years prior to us getting involved. So with the history there and the way she, you know, was feeling and everything, you know, I accepted the situation, but we did kind of overlap when she got pregnant. So we had to wait. I think it was like 13 weeks for an in vitro test to determine, if I was the father or not. So then come to find out I wasn't the father. So I ended up having 6 more months left on the lease for my apartment. So I paid it up and just told her, you know, I'm a dip and I'm not going to put you in a situation to where you got to move right away. So you got 6 months to, you know, get yourself together. And I'll come back and clean everything up and so I can get my security deposit back. So, I mean, as far as I know, they're still together and they got 4 kids together. So, you know, wow. I'm happy for her, you know, because obviously she's where she really wants to be.
Mm-hmm. Did that change your outlook on relationships going forward?
It kind of made me have an issue with light-skinned girls, but it also made me think about really getting to know somebody and not being blinded by infatuation. Mm-hmm. So instead of, you know, me looking for the shiniest penny in the drawer, you know, I should have been looking for something just for me. Not everyone, you know, saying thanks that way. Not everyone can accept that because they think aesthetics is how they're valued. Mm-hmm. When their mind should be, or their happiness, or the fact that they're at peace should be something that they value, just like they value their time. These are things you can't replace. You know? So for me, I was butthurt for a while and I ran the streets, you know, because I, like, my whole thing was I can't do relationships again. Like, it took me a while to get grounded and, you know, get over that pain. But, you know, I had a rule, you know what I'm saying? Like, for years after that, like, we can be together. But other than that, you go about your business, I go about mine. I'm not going to contact you throughout the day and give you an impression that it is more than what it is. I'll talk to you, you know, when it's convenient for the both of us. And when you're with me, I'm going to treat you like how you're supposed to be treated. And other than that, I'm not going to disrespect you, and you can't disrespect me. But I don't want to be tied down or, you know, put in a position where I got to compromise what I'm doing based on how your feelings change, you know? So, you know, after, you know, doing that for a while, I realized you can't take that into adulthood. So that was, you know, part of me I had to let go.
So after, we can call it that phase in your life, after that phase in your life, how did you go about forming new relationships?
Well, I stopped internet dating and started, you know, searching more, you know, face to face, up and personal, because it's possible. I'm not putting anything down against, you know, people who use dating apps or anything like that. But 9 times out of 10, like, you know, it's rare where you meet the one when you don't have a you know, a face to face interaction in the beginning. And I mean, it's not like I was just a heartless person or anything. I just didn't want to, you know, be emotionally involved with somebody for some time. So when I got tired of, you know, being up, leaving somebody's house at 2 o'clock in the morning or vice versa and things like that, like, I decided to, you know, just chill out and, you know, be with one person. So it was something that I think that all people, point that all people can get to or should get to once they reach a certain age. Like, you know, running the streets gets tired after a while. Mm-hmm. And I got tired. So that's what made me want to, you know, pick one person and grow with them.
So what type of places did you go to meet people organically?
Well, they were like speed dating events and museums, bars. I mean, really, you know, malls, you know, and I mean, for me, I'm not always just out there looking, or I wasn't always just out there looking. Mm-hmm. You just happen to meet somebody and you might find them attractive or vice versa. And the conversation start, and depending on, for me, I'm a sapiosexual. So, you know, you got to have a good mindset and a strong mouthpiece for me to, you know, really feel some type of way about you. So if the conversation's, you know, going that way, I'm gonna shoot my shot, or vice versa. And we're going to go from there. I mean, sometimes I'm real big on, you know, finding out who you are through conversation and through your actions. Of course, if you pretending to be somebody else, eventually it'll show.
Right.
You know, so, you know, that's what I'm doing when I'm having conversations with people and I'm getting to know them and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, it's not hard if you're looking, or if you know what you're looking for.
Is marriage a goal for you?
It didn't used to be. Well, and I'll say this, having a family that loves and care about you and who wants to grow with you is more important than being legally married in the system. You know what I mean? So making the vow to be committed to someone or honor somebody and cherish them for the rest of your life, you know, that's something that I can get behind. The stigma of being legally married in the U.S. is, you know, such a, you know, a hasty thing. And, you know, I would hate to put myself in a situation where I think I found someone and the whole time they was playing a chess game to try to get over me on the end. So, you know, those are things I consider, you know, even when it comes to, you know, laying down with somebody, like the possibility of me ended up being, you know, bonded to this person, you know, legally or, you know, through children or things like that is all concepts that run through my mind when it comes to that. But, you know, ideally, you know, that I think that would be the goal. I think that that's what a lot of women not only require, but it's like a stamp on a deal at the end of the day. You know, not that I'm saying that's the only way I'll do it. It's because she wants it. But it usually go hand in hand when it comes to, you know, long term relationships.
So I know you mentioned earlier that you are in a relationship or a situationship. How did you guys meet?
This particular situation, I've known her for going on 5 years now, and we actually met when I was hanging out with another associate of mine's, and it was like an instant good vibe when it came to conversation, and we ended up exchanging numbers that night. And at the time, she was talking to somebody, and I was still in the streets, so that kind of worked out as far as us, you know, still staying connected and not really, you know, worrying about, you know, what the other person is doing or whatever. We mm-hmm. ended up being each other's, you know, confidants, so to so. And it wasn't until recently where we both were in a situation where we weren't, you know, seeing anybody. We had a conversation and some drinks started flowing. And then, you know, she admitted how she, you know, felt about me. And I admitted how I felt about her. And here we are.
Do you see this person being in your life long term?
Yes. She gets on my nerves and aggravates me greatly. But there aren't too many people I would keep around and allow to get on my nerves on a consistent basis. So I definitely I see her sticking around until we both get old.
That was an interesting compliment.
I mean, to me, in some ways, that's what love is. You know, finding somebody that aggravates you severely, but you don't mind it. You know, you'll put up with it because, you know, that's what they mean. They mean enough to you that you deal with the insecurities and the spats and emotional fallout sometimes, or just not knowing what to eat. You know what I mean? It's just one of them things.
So it actually does make sense what you're saying. I don't think I've ever heard it phrased that way. But now that I'm sitting here, like, replaying what you just said in my head, I'm just like, that actually does make sense. At first, I was about to jump on you and be like, why would you even want to put up with somebody that gets on your nerves? But I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. Okay. Following. So with that, what are deal breakers when it comes to getting to know somebody? How do you know when it's like, yeah, no, this isn't going to work?
Okay. So if I'm in a talking stage with somebody mm-hmm. and the subject of body count comes up, or let's say she has children from previous relationships mm-hmm. and the body count exceeds, let's say, 40, and you're under the age of 30, that's not bad, I guess, depending on how you feel about people, you know, living their best life. But I've known people whose body counts exceeded 70 by the time they was 25. And I'm just like, I don't know. Like, were you a professional? I mean, like a porn actor or something like that? And you counting like those group sessions or something? Like, you know, just like, I don't think, and this is, you know, no judgment. I just don't think that. I don't think when you reach those numbers, it's because you feel free. I think it's something you're trying to search for through that physical act. And I don't think that's a good way or a healthy way to go about it. And that's just me personally. So, you know, that's just who I am and how I feel about that particular thing. Also, you have multiple children by multiple fathers, and usually I get a vibe like you're looking for another name to the list instead of looking for somebody you want to settle down with. And I'm not saying that they're always that way, but again, you know, why didn't the first one work out, or the second one, or the third? When you try to ask those questions in a neutral way or a healthy way, in my experience, they usually go left, or the answer I hear is always the blame on the other guy. And I know it's always three sides to a story. So I leave it for what it is. And when a girl admits to you that she's crazy and she don't mind, you know, putting hands on a dude, stuff like that. Like, that's a deal breaker for me. Like, that's one thing I don't do. I'm not going to put my hands on you. You definitely not going to put your hands on me. So it's a mutual respect thing. I mean, other than that, you know, I've seen or have been with women who've been in wheelchairs, in the cosplay, dressed up, you know, as, you know, furry animals and stuff like that. Women of different cultures and races, you know. I'm open that way.
I'm going to gently push back on something you said. Because it's my nature. If somebody has children with multiple fathers, is there ever a possibility in which men would trick women into believing that they're the next best guy and then leaving them when push comes to shove?
I think it's possible. I think that whenever someone who already has an agenda set out for somebody before they really got to know them is always going to end up putting that person in a messed up situation. But the same can be said about, you know, the person on the other foot. You know, maybe growing up a certain way or having a certain goal in mind puts you in the mindset to, you know, want to manipulate somebody and be in a situation where you might not want to work that hard for what you believe you deserve. So, you know, it's equal opportunity when it comes to deception, in my opinion.
Agreed.
How soon into the talking stage do you have these conversations?
You mean about body count?
Yeah, about body count or whatever.
In my experience, it usually happens at least 2 to 3 weeks into the talking stage. But it also depends on the person. I've had experiences where you know, a person can, you know, lay things out on the line within the first 7 days of our first interaction. But I've been known to draw certain things out of people because of my, I don't know, demeanor, spirit, or whatever you want to call it. So it really depends on the person, and it depends on, you know, how the interaction, you know, makes me feel. Because if I feel as though that, you know, maybe that they're telling me what I want to hear, or I'm getting the inclination that maybe I'm just a stopgap until they're ready to move on from their ex, or, you know, something like that, then I'm not going to give that much effort. Like I say, if you pay attention enough, people will show you, you know, their true intentions and who they really are. So it all depends on the situation. It's a case by case basis.
Okay. So in your opinion, what is the talking stage?
Talking stage? I would say the talking stage is, before the first kiss, you know, initially. And it also depends on where you're at in life. Right now, I'm at a point where, you know, if I was to meet somebody new, I'm generally looking for somebody, you know, around my age. You know, we don't have time for the, you know, let's see what happens, or let's play things by ear. Like, you know, we got goals in mind and what we want out of life and what we would like to happen. It's not that we're trying to force somebody to come to our ways, but we don't have time in a lot of ways to, you know, just see what happens. Mm-hmm. So if you're serious about me, I'm trying to be serious about you, and, you know, let's make something happen. Let's grow. Let's build a foundation, and, you know, let's start living. You know what I mean? Because life takes a lot of the living out of the equation when it comes to responsibilities, bills, and, you know, headaches and dramas and things of that nature. So, you know, that's what I think it is.
So for you, do you have a mental checklist of things that your partner would have to check off for you to be with them?
Okay. Yeah. Like I said, number one, got to be able to hold a conversation. Like, that's my end to how you view the world, how you feel about certain things, how you handle disagreements, you know, just how you think, period. You know, I think if you can get that mind meld going, then that's how you develop that natural telepathy you have with your significant other. You know, like if we're sitting at a party or whatever, and she's making that face like, get me out of here, then I'll be like, you know what? The fish is drowning. We got to go. You know what I mean? So, you know, I think that's key, at least for me. How you treat people, especially if they're, like, you know, rude or inconsistent. Like, how do you, you know, what's your relationship like with your parents or friends and things like that? So if you're the type of person that, you know, always has an issue, or I be by myself because, you know, whatever reason, I would like to explore that and see why you feel that way, because, you know, maybe it might be, you know, an issue that, you know, that you could be not even realize that you traumatized by or something like that. And I'm not saying everyone has issues of that nature, but I like to explore that lane just in case, you know, and give them a different perspective on, you know, how they might have viewed it, you know. Mm-hmm. And how you know, how relationships ended and, you know, how they feel about, you know, certain situations, like if they might have a problem, like, with like gay people or something like that. Like, how do you view the world? How do you feel about religion? You know, how do you, you know, to you, what's the meaning of life? Like, you know, these are questions that gives me insight into, you know, how you feel. And some people, they kind of go along as a cog in the machine. And I'm definitely not a cog. Like, I'm the type of person that likes to think outside the box and, you know, walk to the beat of my own drum. And it's nice if you can get somebody like that. But sometimes it doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. You know, some people can, you know, be complete opposites and be perfect for each other. So, you know, those are some of the things on my checklist.
How do you go about introducing a significant other to friends or family?
Depends on how long we've been together, because sometimes you can, you know, be 6 months in, but you're not sure about how things are going. And then other times, you know, you got no problem, you know, showing her off or vice versa. So, of course, you want to keep somebody around you that's genuine, is going to tell you the truth about how they feel, or, you know, if they got like a off or, you know, deceptive vibe from them. So those are the type of people I keep around. So, you know, usually I try to keep, you know, my relationship private until, you know, at least that 6 month stage where I know that, you know, we got enough time in, and, you know, I know where they're headed. They know where I'm headed, and they see where we're going with this.
Okay. Have you hit the 6 month mark with your current person?
Yeah, actually, recently. Yeah, we recently hit 6 months.
Have you introduced them to your friends and family?
See, so that's the thing about it.
Or did they by chance already know? Because you said you knew each other for about 5 years at this point.
Yeah. So she's met a handful of my friends just from us hanging out in mutual spots. So mm-hmm. It wasn't until recently, it wasn't just like us passing by. It's like she's with me now.
Oh, okay.
So, you know what I'm saying? So it's almost like a refresher on the situation. Like there's an update, you know, in my particular status right now. But, okay. You know, as far as family, you know, that it's more like, you know, if they happen to be by my house, that's fine. But other than that, I'm not pressed to bring her to, you know, like family cookouts or nothing like that, because, you know, that's the way my family is. They judgmental, I'll put it that way. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I don't worry about people's thoughts, because what affects them doesn't affect me directly and how I live my life. So, you know, that's just how I roll.
Okay.
With you guys having mutual friends and things like that, did your friends say anything like, oh, we knew this was going to happen, how did this happen type of thing?
No. Well, because of our age difference, our mutual friends were my friends and you know, family that she met through me. And it wasn't until, you know, I started, you know, chilling with her maybe, you know, a few months into that, I met a couple of her friends, but we didn't like hang out on a consistent basis, just because, you know, they own the party all night thing. I'm more of a, you know, let's do what we got to do. Then I got to go to work the next day. So we got like a 9-year age difference.
Okay.
So, you know, you know, we now have, like, you know, people that, you know, we're both, you know, mutually know and everything, but I don't always kick it with her friends just because of, you know, what they on. They, you know, a few generations behind me in comparison to, you know, where I'm at in life.
Yeah.
Okay. So with the age difference, I know you said, like, her, they, how do you guys make that work? Let me just, like, with the age difference, how do you guys make that work?
It's really not an issue. As the only thing that that really is off is that she's still, I guess you could say, she's still getting all that 20s energy out of her system. You know, in my 20s, I had, you know, visited most of the coastal United States, and I was, you know, going to the airport on the weekends and picking a random city and going to it, you know, doing stuff like that. I had been to most clubs and parties and stuff like that by the time I was 16. So, you know, where we grew up at least for my generation, we did the nightlife thing kind of early in life. By the time I was 21, you know, the whole party scene was cool, but, you know, I had already did all that. So, you know, my mind state was, all right, what's next? You know, international travel, you know, buying property, you know, skydiving, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to get her to understand, like, you know, you're going to get to that point soon. So you should, you know, you should start easing back, or you're going to end up putting yourself in a situation to where you're going to feel like you wasted your time. When you, you know, you're going to have regrets for not being more prepared to, you know, step into real adulthood. You know what I mean? Huh.
Okay. What are some of the best moments about being in a relationship?
Having somebody who accepts you for who you are is a real dope aspect, I believe, to a relationship. Having somebody that also has your back, and recognize when you're in need, especially if you're like the pillow or the anchor in a family situation. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes people don't get that. So that's always, you know, a dope thing to have in your life. Like, some people have really great friends, and some people have soulmates, some people have twin flames. And I think it's dope when you find somebody who sees you for you, and they become your best friend from your growth together. So, you know, not everybody can get that, because they actually don't know who they are and what they want out of life. So, you know, always having someone just there, you know, in any situation of your life. Like, when you know somebody through and through, you got your whole inside joke things. You know, you can both sit down and, you know, go to the same place and point out the same, you know, person's shoes or something like that. You know, just stupid little goofy little things that makes the relationship what it is. Like, those are some of the best things. I mean, there's always somebody that can match your energy, but, you know, are they doing it for them, or are they doing it for the both of you? So, you know, I think that's some of the best things about being in a relationship.
So you mentioned the word soulmate. What exactly, in your words, is a soulmate?
Ooh, that's a good one. Okay. The best way I can explain soulmate, in my experience, is somebody that you're with, and when you're with them, the rest of the world fades away. Like, there's nothing else around because that's all that matters in that moment, in that time, in that span, because you guys are linked in a way that not everybody can understand or even comprehend. And it's a beautiful thing. A lot of people misunderstand that because they get it mixed up to whether it can be a platonic soulmate or a romantic soulmate, or, you know, just somebody that you really, really get, and they really, really get you. But when you find a soulmate, man, that's like a one in a billion opportunity. Mm-hmm. And you usually only get one shot with that person. So you gotta make sure that if you recognize that you're ready. And if you're not ready, then you should back off and wait until you are. Because once you lose that is devastating. That mm-hmm. is literally soul crushing to have that person not want to be around you, or you hurt them and you feel that is crazy. And I'm speaking from experience. So that's why I can go in depth when it comes to details like that. So, you know, to me, that's what a soulmate is.
What advice would you have for single people looking for relationships?
Honestly, the best advice I can give single people right now is know what you want before you jump out there. Like, and by that, I mean, where are you at in life? Do you want to be single because you don't want to be by yourself? Do you not want to be single anymore because you're trying to get over somebody? Or are you generally looking for a connection in somebody to, you know, possibly fall in love with or build some type of strong relationship with? Like, because these are questions you're going to find yourself thinking about if things go left or things go right when you meet this person, or mm-hmm. you try to, you know, do something with this person or any type of connection. A lot of people get in relationships because they envy something they see, you know, on social media, or they want to get back at somebody. You know, it's, I'm not putting, you know, manipulation on everyone, but a lot of people don't even realize that they're doing it. Some people say they can't be alone. You need to figure out why is that before you jump into bed or jump into the next relationship with somebody, because you not only see damaging yourself, but you could be damaging that person once they realize that you were lying to yourself and didn't know it, and in turn end up lying to them. Now you create another hurt person out there because you didn't know what was going on with your own self. Mm-hmm. Or you didn't take the advice of somebody who was trying to tell you, hey, maybe you should chill out for a while before you decide to be with somebody. So, you know, make sure that's what you want. And if so, be upfront with them. Hey, you know, I'm looking, you know, I'm looking for somebody, and this is my current situation. And also, I've been through this. So if I seem distant or whatever, this is the reason why. But I'm working on me. If you can accept that, then we can go forward. If you can't, hey, you know, you have yourself a nice day, and, you know, I'm going to keep it moving just like you should. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think that people should talk more. You know, it's fine if you have the anxiety thing and the whole texting thing, but toxin can eliminate a lot of people wasting their time. You know, I'm pretty sure you ladies had that experience, because, you know, you might have met somebody, you know, some way or another, and then you might have ended up in a relationship, or you might ended up dating that person or whatever. Then you realize, I really don't like this person. Like, they make me laugh or whatever, but I'm not really feeling it. So I think that'll eliminate a lot of you know, the continuation of the bad dating era. I guess that's what I can call it, because that's usually what I read on the Shade Room and places like that these days.
But I mean, that does make sense. A lot of people don't know how to have real conversations anymore. Or if you are having a conversation, it's very surface level. And then when you try to get deeper than that, usually people either clam up, and the rare ones that you do start to have deep conversations with, you kind of hit a wall.
Agreed.
No, unfortunately, the generation that you're speaking of are the last of a dying breed. There's a handful of people who actually grew up with enough moxie and charisma to actually sit down across from somebody and exchange words without it, you know, being sexual or only about reality TV or anything that doesn't really have any, you know, meat on its bones. Cause I hate small talk. And if I'm bored, I'll entertain you, but I'm not gonna take you seriously if that's all you got between your ears. Like, that's just me.
So what is it like from a male perspective, the dating world?
Well, I'm kind of an enigma when it comes to that. I've been catfished more than 5 times.
Yikes.
Yeah. So it also depends on what you're willing to put up with, because I used to settle, but I'm not settling anymore, because settling was better than being by yourself or being alone, not having affection or not having, you know, someone warm with you when it's cold outside, you know, someone to have bounce ideas off of, or just someone just to talk to. And you can't burden your friends with all your problems or all your angst and wants. So you want to find somebody that way. So for me, dating is, as of 2022, finding that rare opportunity to shoot your shot. And thirsty people make it hard for you to even say hello to women. You know what I mean? Because of how ignorant they are and how blatantly disrespectful they are, they make it so women have to smile when they don't want to smile, just so they won't say, oh, why are you not smiling? You know what I'm saying? You're so cute or something like that. Or have somebody pull them off their natural stride to try to get their attention, even though they ignore them. Or follow them to their car because they think persistence is going to get them the number. So when do you shoot your shot? Is it at a bar when they by themselves? You know? Is it when they're leaving the gym and not when they're working out? Is it in church? Like, it's real difficult because people are now making it hard just for people to have even conversations or give somebody a compliment, because they think it's going to lead to somebody wanting more than just, you know, being a gentleman or being courteous. You know what I mean? So I think it's fine, but you have to find not only the right time and place, but you got to find the right opening to even begin that. Some women, you know, they aren't as guarded as the rest. Some women roll with the punches. Some women I know think like men, act like men as well. And that's cool and everything, but it's real hard to real date these days. And then if you are in a situation where you can shoot your shot, okay, what has this person been through? Because they will approach you with a checklist in mind before they even gotten to know you. You know, like, or I had a girl say, if you want my number, cash at me or sign up for my OnlyFans. Like, you know, this is... It's some of the most disrespectful stuff that I've ever seen. But for them, that's the way of them getting checked, you know, seeing how serious somebody are, you know what I'm saying, about getting to know them or whatever they told them they want to do, or of, you know, getting something out of the deal because they feel as though they're going to waste their time or try to do something to negatively impact their life. At least they got something out the deal, you know? So dating to me, it's a tricky situation as of 2022. It doesn't mean that it's impossible. You just have to be serious and assertive on what you're trying to do, and you got to come correct. And I'm not saying, you know, blow somebody's phone up or, you know, send them 1,000 messages, you know, pick the right time, see what happens. If not, there are 3 billion women on this planet. You don't have to keep chasing one.
Fair enough. With your current relationship, what type of dates do you guys go on?
Well, she has high anxiety, so she likes privacy. I usually try to find situations to where I can, you know, like rent a gazebo. I rented out a museum earlier this year in the evening, so we could walk that. Set up like a tent in the backyard. She likes the stars, so you know, I decked it out with stars and stuff like that. Or I'll get like a private room at a restaurant, you know, like, you know, just the two of us. Mm-hmm. Or I'll just do like a picnic, you know, if the weather, you know, permits. If not, you know, we'll eat in my truck or something like that, you know. So I try to be different as far as the venue options, but I also kind of have to, you know, cater to, you know, her needs, because I can do things that she finds very uncomfortable. So I have to always be mindful of that. So I make those, you know, conceptions to make that happen.
That's kind of you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Big T, first of all, we want to say thank you so much for coming on the podcast and letting us into your world. But before we let you go, we have one last question that we ask all of our guests. And that question
is marriage worth it?
Yes, it is if you found the right person. I think that marriage is just a another facet to life that if used properly and not looked at as a tool, but an extension to, you know, illustrate how you feel about somebody, it's a beautiful thing. So if you're going to marry, marry wisely. Don't marry for things. Marry for moments and marry for love.
Well, that's beautiful. Is there your podcast? Let's bring that up one more time so we can promote it. And anything else you would like to promote?
Yes. My podcast, again, is I Can't Make This Up. That's I Can't with a K, Make This Up Podcast. You find it everywhere podcasts are available. I'm also on social media, Twitter, IG, Land Over Legend Studios, also on Facebook. I Can't Make This Up Podcast. I'm doing some restructuring right now, and I got some new episodes coming out this fall, so be on the lookout for that. And once I'm up and running, I'm going to have you ladies on there, because it's a lot more that, you know, I didn't get a chance to share on here that I think you'll find interesting.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Sounds cool. You can follow our podcast at Marriage Worth It on TikTok and Instagram. And you can also follow us on Facebook, Is Marriage Worth It? And you can email the show, marriageworthit@gmail.com. If you have any questions, guest ideas, or dates, our DMs are technically open.
I'm Monique.
And I'm Janelle.
And this has been
Is Marriage Worth It?